You know what that music means? It is the walk-up music for, you know, Sophia means so much to our show for someone who only joins us every other week. She brings us back to a Brewers team that has won six in a row and has been one of the hottest teams in baseball for more than a month. She's kind of a moral compass for us as well at times. And she makes us a little bit cooler when she joins us. I am wondering if she has a vindictiveness to her that, first of all, I know I have personally, and it would appear that some Packers fans have about Aaron Rodgers. So before we get to baseball and the Brewers with Sophia. Sophia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
Can you be vindictive? You're such a nice person. Can you be vindictive?
I can be. I definitely can have an edge at times. I can definitely have a temper at times. I'm very competitive, so I think that also plays into it sometimes. So yeah, I think everyone has a little element of that.
Give us a little taste. What is that going to be? When are you going to be vindictive? When is that going to come out of you?
I mean, I don't want to be vindictive, right?
Yeah. I do.
But I think, you do.
Sometimes, yes.
I mean, I guess, like, do you consider it vindictive if, like, you want to prove people wrong?
No.
No, that's not vindictive?
No, that's not vindictive.
No. It has to be, like, nastier?
No, I mean, you don't have
like
to be
someone has, someone in your mind has wronged you, and you either would like to see harm befall them, or you'd like to kind of stick it to them so they're punished for wronging you, would be my thought of vindictiveness.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I don't wish bad things upon people.
Yeah.
I think for me, it more comes from a place of, like, I want to prove that person wrong, right? Like,
yes.
whatever wrong they have put on me, I'm not necessarily wishing evil upon them, but it's more like I want to do something to prove that person wrong.
Yeah, I think Sophia's just a lot nicer than you, Jason. There's no doubt.
You'll get no argument here.
All right, Sophia, I want to get to the game from last night and kind of this last run that the Milwaukee Brewers have been on. I'm assuming that when you talk to the players after the game, that was a great, like, the crowd last night was great, but it was yeah. You think it was 50-50 Cubs Brewers? Because you couldn't tell. If you had your back to the game, you couldn't tell if it was something big time from the Brewers or if it was some big play from the Cubbies.
Yeah. No, it was awesome, right? I mean, it was kind of just over 30,000 people, and it was, you know, the classic Brewers-Cubs split. And I will say the crowd was into it from the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, first inning right away, you know, Freddie Peralta gives up a home run. The Cubs fans are into it right away. Then the Brewers come back and tie the game right away. So it just felt like one of those classic Brewers-Cubs games where the crowd is into it right away. It's a lot of back and forth, some great defensive plays in there that got the crowd into it again, you know, adding on runs. And then the eighth inning happens, and it was just crazy. I mean, you know, when we talked to the players after the game, a lot of them had never been a part of an inning like that, you know, 10 runs in an inning. I mean, you go from Ryan Tepera, you know, a Cubs, you know, setup reliever to Eric Sogard is a position player pitching at the end of the inning, right? Like, that's how quickly it escalated, going from a tie game to 10 runs in the inning. So it was an unbelievable atmosphere. It felt like more than the 30,000 people that were there, because of just how into it the crowd was, the energy that they brought, you know, all the action, of course. So it was a great game. It was a lot of fun.
Sophia, does it bother you at all that this is the second time Tausch has used the, if you had your back turned to the action, you didn't know what was happening? I get the sense that his back was turned to the action a lot last night.
No, maybe he was busy doing other things. I don't know. It was also a long inning. I mean, when you score 10 runs
so
in an
nice.
Inning, it's a long inning.
See?
I don't expect Tausch to be locked in every
yeah.
pitch.
Yeah, busy doing other things. You're at a Brewers game.
You're at a baseball game.
Well, but he's saying if you're watching at home, right? Wasn't that what he was implying?
No, I was at the game.
No, I was at the game last night.
Oh, you were at the
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's see some of that edge come out. Sophie, you can get after me. That's all right.
Oh.
Oh. All right, so
you know what the environment was.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I thought
you
were home watching the game.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it's everybody gets up in arms, but listen, we want revenue coming into AmFam Field. You know, the Cubs fans, they're buying the tickets up. It is a little bit weird, but I think it is something that, you know, during this rivalry, you kind of have to expect this is how it's going to be. And it's even better when you throw up a 10 spot on them in the eighth and they all go kind of whining out of AmFam Field back down to Chicago. I felt it was fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, nothing makes me happier than a mass exodus of Cubs fans out of there.
Amen.
Tausch, did you see Willie Adames' home run, the three-run home run in the 10th inning, or in the 10-run inning?
I didn't see the 10th
inning. Or did you hear it and then watch the replay?
I did miss that, yes. I missed the three-run homer.
Okay,
yeah.
I rest my case. Sophia, last time we talked, you talked about the impact Willie has made on this team. I saw a tweet from you yesterday about him as well after the home run. I mean, the bat flip, the emotion, all. I am really liking this guy. And quite frankly, I was wondering, you know, the fact that it was necessary to acquire him. This has turned out to be a fantastic acquisition. Give us a better idea of just the impact on all levels that he is having on this team.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's been, I mean, it sounds really trite, but it's true. It's been game changing. Just from the moment that he walked into the clubhouse, I think, you know, the ultimate compliment that you could give a player is that he's making everyone around him better. And he's absolutely done that. I think it feels like he was always supposed to be here. He's essentially been with the team just for a month. Yeah, just over a month now, since May 22nd. And it feels like he's been here the whole year. I mean, he stepped in. It was an immediate fit. He just really ingrained himself in that clubhouse. He cares really deeply about his teammates and cheering other people on, and he wants everyone to do well. And I think that has really become infectious. You know, I think the way he supported Luis Urias, right, who he essentially took his position as the everyday shortstop. And he's only 25 years old, but Craig Counsell has spoken about, like, the leadership qualities he has of, like, hey, we're going to get out there. We're going to do our infield work together. We're going to do extra work. We're going to do all of this together. He's kind of helping Luis through this transition. He's made Luis better. He's brought out the best in Avi Garcia. You know, defensively, he's been just so solid. He's been in the lineup every day. Offensively, he's been a major spark. You know, the high five celebrations after home runs, like, that's become part of this team now. And it's real. You know, the energy that he brings, the leadership qualities that he brings, everything on the field that he brings in terms of, you know, great defense, a great throwing arm, a really solid bat. Now he's become this power threat in the lineup. And again, I think just like the ultimate compliment that you can give a player as a teammate is just that he's making everyone around him better. People want to be around him. He's got just this magnetic personality. You can't understate kind of how he has changed this team.
Talking with our friend Sophia Minert from Bally Sports Wisconsin. I'm still adjusting to that. And from the Milwaukee Brewers. All right, Sophie, I got one more that I'm curious about. What's the difference in Freddy Peralta? Because he's terrific.
He's just a complete pitcher now. This is like you're watching player development happen at the major league level. You know, you think about even as good as he was when he came up for his major league debut, he essentially was doing it with one pitch, right? It was, and that's why we call him Freddy Fastball.
Right.
Because it was that elite fastball that hitters just couldn't catch up on. And then he'd mix in a curveball every now and then, but it was essentially Totally reliant on the fastball. And then each year he's just added new wrinkles. He improved the curveball. Last year he added the slider. This year he's mixing in a changeup. So now he's got fastball, slider, curveball, changeup. He's got the full mix. More importantly, he has confidence in all of those pitches. The fastball still sets up everything else. And that's why he's having success. He just has so many more weapons to go to now, and he's pitching with confidence, and he understands himself so much more. He really trusts his catchers too, with Omar Narvaez and Manny Pena. So it's been so fun to watch Freddie. You feel like you're literally watching him grow up. Just the way that he's improved year to year, and I think it's important to note too. Like, we don't talk enough that this is really his first season in the starting rotation. I mean, last year he only pitched 29 innings and he made one start. I don't think we give him enough credit for like making this transition of, you know, he's been that starter reliever hybrid role in the past, almost like the right-handed version of a Brent Suter, where he can go back and forth between those two roles. But this is really the first season he's had the opportunity to pitch out of the starting rotation exclusively, and he's just taken on that challenge head on, and he just delivers every time out. It's really, really exciting to watch. And then you think he's only 24 years old, and that's really eye opening too.
All right. I lied, as I often do when we say last one before we let you go. Plus it takes away from time for Wonelly, which is a win for all of us. In your Twitter bio, I have this memorized because I remember when I first read it and laughing at it. You said, I think it's something to the effect of, on good days, I dodge baseballs and Gatorade showers in your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw you interview, it was a couple of games ago. I don't know how long ago it was now. But you're interviewing Keston Hura. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this.
Correct,
and
yeah.
Colton Wong is coming up behind mm-hmm. him, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
And
Friday,
you used,
on reopening
yeah,
day.
Yeah, you used one of my favorite words because, well, you called him an all-star human being for the heads up. You know, I love favorite human beings, of which you are one of mine. But how vital is the Gatorade bath heads up for you in your role, and how hard is it to execute it without tipping off the person who is going to get the Gatorade bath?
Well, that's why I had to acknowledge Colton in the moment, because I cannot recall a player giving me that kind of heads up in the past. I mean, Colton went out of his way to, like, motion to me from kind of behind Keston's back of like, hey, move out of the way as he was coming in closer to Keston. So I did see Colton coming in behind, and I was kind of waiting for him to get closer so I didn't spook Keston too much. So I think it all worked out pretty well. I didn't get a drop on me thanks to Colton's heads up, but that's why I had to signal him out, because I don't think I've ever had a player do it that way, like in real time. Usually I just see them coming on my own and I'm able to get out of the way, but yeah, it was just such a classy move by Colton. So that's exactly the kind of guy he is.
As much as he deserves credit for that, your poker face of not tipping him off was just as vital to that working.
Thanks for
making time for us, as always. I want an example. You can text me later, but I want an example of you being vindictive, because otherwise you're just going to remain considered perfect on this show, and we can't have that kind of thing. Tell Al Minard I said hi. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.